Let's go to our Father in prayer before we begin the lesson. Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we praise you and thank you for this time together. Father, I didn't lift up earlier the Forbes family and the children who've been so challenged and hurt lately by the death of their father. And I lift up that family and the difficulties there and the pain there. And I pray, Father, that you'll help them, give them growth, and help them to step forward in trusting you and in learning your will through this terrible, difficult, and tough time. Father, I pray that as we now open up your word, that our hearts will be soft before you, that we will be willing to listen to you, and that we'll be submissive to you. Please help me to get out of the way and let your word teach as it will. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whether we were being challenged as a church or being challenged as individuals over the past few weeks, we were joining with Joshua in chapters 3 and 4 in crossing the Jordan and in looking for God's will in crossing the Jordan and for glorifying God in crossing the Jordan. Last week we talked about how to do that in stepping into school in a new way, and back into our jobs or whatever it may be, that we deliberately, that we live deliberately moving forward to serve and lift up and glorify God. In Joshua chapter 1, Moses has just died, and God says to Joshua in verse 2, "Now therefore arise," get up, in other words, "cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses." And down in verse 5, Joshua 1 still, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their forefathers to give them." One of the things we can know about God is he can be trusted. When God lays out a promise before you, the promise can be trusted. God is true to his word. And he says to Joshua, and he has to underline it a few times. We don't have time to read the entire passage. "Be strong and very courageous. I will be with you. Just like I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you." Now, if you fast forward that to New Testament words, we read in Hebrews, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." God gives to us the same promise that he gave to the Israelites about to cross the Jordan River. Jesus said in what we call the Great Commission, he says, "I will be with you always to the very end of the age. I'll always be with you." If we can grab the metaphor of what he physically gave to the Israelites, every place they put their foot, he said, is your property. You walk forward. I want you to walk across the Jordan River. We talked about what he did to get them across the river. But then I want you to walk forward, because wherever you go, wherever you walk, wherever you put your foot, I'm giving to you. Walk is a common metaphor in the Bible for our life with God. Jeremiah 10:23 is one of my favorites. "I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps." You ought to put, that's Jeremiah 10:23. You ought to write that down and make that one of your family memory verses. Because it's a great memory verse. It's a metaphor for life. It is not us who walk to direct our own steps. You think you can figure it out. I just learned something this morning. Talking about steps. We were on the way to services this morning, and I had a 10-year-old in the back seat reading from his little fact book. Do you know that it's nine? He's still nine. Do you know that Dad doesn't remember how old his children are? Do you know that you can lead a cow upstairs but not downstairs? I learned that this morning. Now, if I'd thought about that, I'd have figured that out. I can imagine leading a cow upstairs, but I can't imagine convincing that big thing to go down some steps. You could understand that. But I learned that this morning. You can lead a cow upstairs, not downstairs. I also learned that the very first lighthouse in the United States to use electricity was the Statue of Liberty. See, now, if you don't learn things here, you're just not paying attention. You can write that down. We're not cows, but sometimes we can be just that stubborn, not go where we're supposed to. The metaphor of walking, it is not us who walk to direct our own steps. The only way to walk through life is to let the Lord direct your steps. The way of a man is not in himself, Jeremiah 10:23, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. Proverbs uses the metaphor often. Here's chapter 4, verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings. The years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. If you run, you will not stumble. The understanding about not stumbling is that you walk in the wisdom that the Father is giving His Son. Now, if you fast forward again to the New Testament, Galatians chapter 5. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Verse 16. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. We are often called to live in a metaphor of walking. So in the same way, if you don't mind, we'll continue that concept of crossing the Jordan and taking claim or walking in to the promised land that God gave to them across the river. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling you have been called. There's an interesting order in Scripture in the New Testament. We often get it wrong. We often get it backwards. If you've asked very many people to join you on a Sunday service or, quote, come to church with me, or why don't you come to a Bible class we're having, you'll often hear the answer, oh, no, you don't know, you don't want me around your church. I'm too messed up. Or you don't need somebody like me around. My life is such a mess. We often think, and it's often taught, that what you need to do is get your life straight and then come to Christ. Get your morality lined up. Because Christ wouldn't want you if you're messed up. If you're a lion-stealing, you know, dog, He doesn't want you around. No. We read in the New Testament that Christ didn't die for us because we were so good. He died for us when we were His enemies. That's the kind of love God has. And so what we find here in the middle of Ephesians is not a go out and teach people to be right, to be moral, and then ask them to come join us in the body of Christ. He's talking to the body of Christ, telling them to walk in a moral life. First, you come to Christ. Just like you are, soft heart is required. Faith is required. You got to be repentant. But you come to Christ to clean things up, not because you've cleaned things up. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Now, when we come to Christ, the standard we're given is awesome. It's incredible. The moral standard is hard enough. But then all he says is, all you need to do is die for one another. You love like I loved. You go to the cross for each other. You just serve one another. Jump down to verse 17 of Ephesians 4. So I say this and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given them over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Again, he's calling us to a walk. But look at the comparison he has. You all know how you used to walk. You know how you lived before you came to Christ. You were in a futile way of thinking. You were living in the dark, verse 18. You were excluded from life. You were ignorant. Your heart was hard, and you were callous. That's the pattern. This hard, callous, uncooperative, ignorant, stumbling in the dark. That's what we're compared with. So, in last week's metaphor, as we talk about how to go to our schools for our younger folks, how to go back to our jobs for us, how to walk in our families or our neighborhoods, or when we walk through this community, we're called to a standard of walking. We're called to a perspective that's high and clear and specific. The world is getting sloppier and more messed up and more filthy and more foul, seems like, every week. Amen. Now, it's dumped on us through our entertainment systems, but you get it in every direction. You can't drive down the road without the vulgar sayings on the backs of cars. We're being asked to just accept this. Oh, come on, that's real. That's life. Christ understands that that's out there. But he's calling us to a different kind of walk. Remember when we read in Proverbs that when you walk, your steps will not be impeded? When you run, you'll not stumble? Oh, there's some bad stumbling going on. People are hurting in great pain because they're not choosing. Either those around you or you yourself are not choosing to walk as Christ calls us to walk. Let's go down a few verses. Verse 20. You didn't learn Christ this way. If indeed you've heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, in which the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. One of the beautiful things about this is that in Christ, you come to Christ as you are. Your sins are washed away. You're forgiven in Christ. Just like Ananias said to Saul, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and have your sins washed away. They're washed away. And then you apply this. You follow Christ. You learn Christ. You didn't learn Christ by walking in darkness. Or from walking in darkness, you learned of Christ by looking at the light, by reading the Word. You lay aside, the beauty of this thing, as I was getting to, is that there's two sides. Christianity is far from a list of what not to do. It's a pattern of what to do. You get both sides of the list. But we're not left just with, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other. We're given Christ to follow, to walk in, to be renewed by. And in Christ, we have a beautiful array of life and love and applications to give to one another. And believe me, that's plenty to keep you busy. But we have to be deliberate about it. You see that renewal, that new spirit of thinking? In the spirit of your mind, you put on, verse 24, a new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. Sounds like Romans 12, right? Sounds like Romans 12. The biggest, in my mind, one of the biggest therefores in all of Scripture, Romans chapter 1 through chapter 11 is an explanation of Christianity. Romans chapter 12 says, therefore, because of all of this incredible gift of God in Christ, because of all of this incredible relationship and salvation and grace that God has given us and given us access to Him in Christ, therefore, I urge you, brothers, Romans 12:1, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That brain renewing, that mind refreshening, that transition that we're being asked to make, it's a very deliberate one in Christ. Back to Ephesians 4. We put on a new self, verse 24. Verse 25 starts a list of things that we clean up and change. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speaking truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only as such as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed in the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, chapter 5, verse 1, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. That's specifically sexual immorality, and I kind of like the way the NIV reads in that sentence. But among you, the New International Version reads this way, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any impurity. Not even a hint. It goes on, and there must be, verse 4, there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. This list doesn't match up with the world we live in. No foul language? Not even a hint of immorality? You can't go to a Disney movie without flirting and sexual innuendo these days. No stealing. Oh, come on. The corporations have so much money. You don't need to give them a full day's work for a full day's pay. They ought to be paying you more anyway, right? People perfect ways of not working at work. They perfect ways of rationalizing how to take things from the office or from the government that aren't theirs. This list isn't easy these days. Speak the truth to one another. We are called to a different way of thinking, a different way of living. And it's going to be one that has people scratching their heads. They're not going to necessarily understand us. Remember what we read? We're the aroma from Christ to one, the smell of life, the beautiful fragrance of life to the other, the stench of death. To those who won't participate or won't understand or will make fun of us in a different style of living, we stink like death. But we don't do this for ourselves. We do this for Christ. Verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. That's one of the crimes that we're constantly attacked with. You can't, walk through the checkout line somewhere without all the tabloids of who's divorcing who and who's having whose baby and who's lied and stolen this and who's done this and who's done that and what other embarrassing things. Television shows are some television shows are nothing but bringing in people with horrendous things in their secret lives and then splashing them out onto the stage just to shock the audience and to shock the cameras and to shock us in our homes. If we were looking at this from a scriptural point of view, it says it's disgraceful even to talk about it. It's disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done in secret. We get this desire in our Christian walk, not from Christ, but from the world. We get this desire to find out, what do I have to do? What's the minimum I can get away with in Christ and still be pleasing to God? And we try to find that line and sort of carefully walk the edge to see. I mean, I can't cuss, right? But I can say all the replacement words. It's like da-da, 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 da-da. Because I'm not supposed to cuss. Some folks don't even think the scripture says you can't cuss. Yeah, exactly, huh? I think we just read something there that says you can't do that. No filthiness, no silliness, or coarse jesting. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. I don't want us to change our brain thinking and start thinking about cuss words, but just real quickly, because some people feel rather adamant about this, that cussing isn't all that bad. And if I get a movie that just has so many cuss words in it, well, that's okay. Because, by the way, I mean, you hear that every day anyway. But except for the word D-A-M-N, every cuss word that I know of has a vulgar origin to it. It falls into the category of speaking of such things which are done in secret. It brings the private and the personal into the public in a vulgar way, in a hurtful, harsh, nasty, vulgar way. We shouldn't have any part of that. Not the words themselves, nor any replacement word that sounds anything like the words themselves, nor the attitude that causes us to say it in the first place. And as far as D-A-M-N, its original meaning means being sent to hell. And that's God's business. I do think you can use it in a sentence and not be cussing with it, but it's so misunderstood and so twisted these days, I wouldn't do that very much. That's God's business. We shouldn't be proclaiming that kind of judgment on things. So we have nothing to do with this stuff. We're supposed to be filling ourselves with Christ. We're supposed to be renewing our minds, thinking totally differently than the world around us thinks. I don't have goldfish. No, somebody asked me if we're going to have goldfish up here today. And no, I'm not more thirsty than I normally am. Although with TJ not here, I did miss my glass of water. But the world out there is filled, consumed with this kind of immorality. And normally people go out into the world and get immersed in it. CB's thinking we're going to have more dripping through the ceiling. A normal way to live a life is just go and plunge yourself into the world. Whether it's at school, you're expected to act this way, and if you don't, you're not popular, you're not accepted. People get immersed in the world because there's no other way to live, is there? I mean, that's what the world is. That's just normal. That's just natural. If you're going to participate in it, you're going to be completely immersed in it, right? You're going to sink. You're going to be completely covered. Well, Christ calls us to live a different way. He calls us to live completely differently. You may not expect it. You may not understand it. But we should expect it of ourselves. You guys going off to class and off to school where you're going to be asked to cuss. In fact, when they find out you don't cuss, they're going to try to manipulate a way to make you cuss. Oh, yeah, you've cussed. No, I haven't. No, go ahead. I tell you what, say this. Listen, I'm telling you, they do that. They ride you and ride you and ride you. Let me give you a website to go visit. I don't want to visit any of that. No, really. They'll ride you and push you and nag you and make fun of you. But we're called to live differently. We might be the same thing as everybody around us. We're all humans. But Christ calls us to have a totally different approach to life. We're called to think differently. And therefore, act differently. Let's go to Ephesians and then the lesson will be yours. Ephesians chapter 2. Do all things without grumbling or complaining, disputing. Verse 15, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in a crooked and depraved generation or perverse generation. Paul acknowledges that we're surrounded by things that are crooked, not straight, perverse, not pure. He knows that. It's not something new to us in the 21st century, but we're called to pull ourselves away from us. And when we do, verse 15 ends, among whom, or in that environment, you're going to appear as lights in the world, or as other versions say, as stars in the universe. You're going to look different, never for your own glory, never so people will say, hey, look, he's floating. Wow, what a great guy. What a great gal she must be. Never to that end. Always to the end of glorifying God. In all we do, do all to the glory of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And then finally, Philippians 4, verse 8. And the aspect of not participating, of clarifying our walk in Christ, that walk across the Jordan of claiming every piece of land we walk on, of saying, I'm going to walk deliberately. This is Christ. Where I am, Christ is. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellent, is there anything worthy of praise, dwell, think, meditate on these things. Sometimes our little bit of time here is nearly all the scripture we get. Sometimes the television stays on in homes for hours and hours and days and days and days and kind of dumps all sorts of garbage into our homes. And we end up thinking about one horrible thing after another horrible thing. We dive into newspapers and read about all kinds of crimes and messes people get themselves into. We dive into our environments at work and school and pretend to agree with all of this sloppy stuff going on so that we won't be outcasts. We're called to be outcasts. Never in judgment. Never in finger pointing. Always in service. Always in love. Always proclaiming Christ. Always giving glory to God. But it comes from a disciplined, purposed, mind-changing approach to the way we live. Change the way we think. Change what we dwell on, and God will use us as stars in the universe. If there's any here today who have not been baptized into Christ, I invite you to come forward and let us know that. If any have any other needs for prayer or Bible study or anything at all, please come forward while we sing the song that Steve has selected.